as a child growing up in America, one of my favorite games was a game called Capture the Flag. I think over here in England it's called the Wide Game. For those of you who are not familiar with this game, it's a very simple game. You have two teams, each team has got a base, you have a flag inside the base, and the object of the game is to go secretly and penetrate the opposing team's base and capture the flag while being undetected and bring it back to your base. And I think at the time what was so, the attraction which I had to this game was that I always felt, perhaps I had a vivid imagination, but I felt there was so much more to the flag than just a piece of cloth. There was so much symbolism behind the flag. That which it represented pride, strength, and defeat for one team, and embarrassment and misery, losing for the other team. And what I'd like to do this morning is to share with you some thoughts about the Degolim that we find in the Chumash, to raise some questions, to discuss the ideas behind it, and hopefully we in some way will be able to capture the essence of the flags. There's a beautiful Medrash, there's a Chazal which say that B'shosh Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hai Sinai Yardu Imei Chav Beis Revavei Shel Malachim. When the Jewish people were at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended on the Har with tens of thousands of malachim. And all of the malachim were grouped together in flags. When the B'nai Yisrael saw how all of the malachim were grouped in the Degolim, Hischilu Mis'avim L'Degolim. They immediately had a great desire to also be encamped in the Golan. Omru halavai kach onu nas in the Golan kamoisan. How we wish that we could also be grouped together in the Golan. Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Omru makaddish Baruch Hu manis abis and masis the Golan. You want, you have this desire to be grouped together in flags? Chayechem sheni mamala mishalaseichem. I'm going to grant you that request. Miyad Hidea Kadish Boko Isam Yisrael for Amal Mesha Lech Asaya Isam the Golem Commission is Avo. Immediately Akadish Boko went to Mesha and said, go and organize the Jewish people, put them together in the Golem. Which is what Pashas Bamidbar, a great chalik of Pashas Bamidbar, is setting up the whole idea of the Golem. In the same place in the Medrash says, Chiba Gedela Chiba Van Akadish Boko Shasam the Golem Kamalachi Asharis. The Medrash says it was a great act, display of love which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for the B'nai Yisrael, that he gave us the Golem. So already on this Medrash we can ask a few questions. First of all, the Chlal, what's the Inyan of the Golem? What's the Inyan of the Golem by Malachi Asharis, that the Malachim have the Golem? Why is it that Chlal Yisrael had such a great desire to be and to have these the Golem? And why is it a display of Chiba? Why is it a display of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Chlal Yisrael? Move on to another Medrash. The Medrash says that the Medrash is describing how the Ummah Sa'ilam, the nations of the world, are coming to entice the B'nai Yisrael. They're coming to say, come back to us, be with us. The Medrash says, Omru lehem ha'umis, shuvi shuvi ha'shulamis. You know, the Klal Yisrael are called the Shulamis. Ma'u shuvi shuvi ha'shulamis. What does it mean that they're saying to us, come back, shuvi shuvi ha'shulamis? Come and join with us, cling to us. If you come and you be with us, we'll make you into great men of stature, we'll make you into princes and rulers, and so on. What could you possibly offer us? You're telling me You're going to make us great. You're going to make us into sons. Shemakim cholot hamachanoyim. Perhaps you can actually give us cholot hamachanoyim. You can give us these camps. Shemahatim yecholim litim lanu kegedula shnotim lanu lekeinu b'midbar b'degel machane Yehuda, degel machane Reuven, degel machane Ephraim, degel machane Dan. Can you give us the greatness which we had in the midbar? We had four degolim. We had camps with four degolim. Yecholim atim latis kach lanu. Could you possibly do that for us? Matzechazu v'shulamis. The Oyed, and furthermore, say the B'nai Yisrael back to the Goyim. Kishanu chaitim v'humaychalanu. Shneva v'hayim achanecha kodesh. Not only this, if it's not enough, to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us into the Golem, but when we are chayt and we sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moichel. So again, first question on this medrash we can ask is that usually if you have a person who has, let's say they have a job, they have a position in a company, they're getting £40,000 a year and they have various benefits, and the different company wants to hire the person. So say you're getting £40,000 and you get a 50% reduction in your health insurance, you come to me, you'll get £45,000, you'll get 70% off. And yeah, usually there's some type of, they're in the same league, there's some type of zel uma zel. Over here, the guy come to us and they say, come to us and we'll make you great, we'll give you all different types of positions. And we say, we want to be the chosen nation, we want to be from, we want to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's a totally different type of yachas, it's a totally different league, it's two totally different types of ideas. And also, what does it mean that somehow connected to the concept of the golem, of the flag, we say, and when we are chayt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechilas. What does mechilas avonim have to do with the concept of the golem? Seemingly unrelated. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tefillah, and the Rambam goes through the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. He starts off by saying, "Haminig haposhet b'chol Yisrael shemashlimim esater b'shana achas." Rav Kol Yisrael have the custom, have the minhag that we finish laying the Torah every single year. He says there were other communities, there was different times in Jewish history when communities finished it once every 3 years. Different minhagim. The minhag haposhet is that you finish it once a year. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, "Ezra tikam l'ham liYisrael, shuklerin kolay shu b'seifa vayikra kridim atzeres, shu b'mishna teira kridim rosh hashanah." Ezra was misakin for Kol Yisrael that we should lay parshas b'chukesai before Shavuos, shu b'mishna teira kridim rosh hashanah. We should lay kisovei and mitzovim before Rosh Hashanah, like we do. Says the Rambam, "The haminik haposhut shuklerin b'midbar Sinai kridim atzeres," and also included in the minhag poshut is that we also lay parshas b'midbar before Shavuos. And again, it needs an explanation. Why? What's so essential? Why is it so essential and necessary that we should lay parshas b'midbar before Atzeres? So just to summarize the questions that we've raised. Firstly, what the chlal, what's the concept of the Degolim? What does it have to do with Matan Torah? We see that came, that the whole idea of the Degolim came about b'shas Matan Torah. The idea that the Malachim have the Degolim, what was the tremendous desire that the Yidden had, that they wanted to be the Degolim, what's the temptation that Goyim are coming to tempt us, be like them, and our response is we have the Degolim, Mechilas Avonos, what does it have to do with that? And finally, in the Rambam, the Minhag HaPashut is to lay Parshas B'Midbar before Shavuos. The idea is like this. Supposing, let's say, maybe not nowadays, but let's say 400 years ago, when there was, several hundred years ago, when the monarchy was very, very strong, when there was a real concept of a monarchy. Let's say if one day, my name is Yaakov Haimer, let's say one day I raise a flag above my house and I declare, this is Haimersville, over here. Right, this little shetach, this little area is going to be called Haimersville. So how would the monarchy view such an act? They would view it as an act of rebellion. Here we are, it's a sovereign nation, there's a monarchy, there's a king, and here's a person who's raising a flag, declaring this to be their own little area, their own little rulership, their own little city-state. That would be an act of mutiny, an act of rebellion. However, if the king comes over to me and says, I'm looking for a group of people to do a particular task, would you be interested to do that task? And I say, yes, I would. And the king says, fine, you've got the job and you need something to show that you are coming to represent me, and I subsequently raise a flag. Obviously it's a totally different story, because now when I'm raising the flag, I'm not coming to show my individuality, the fact that I'm separate, but rather I am showing that I am a representative, I am an emanation of the king, I'm coming to represent, I'm an emissary of something much greater. And that is the idea of the Golem. The idea is a person, a yochid, a prat, an individual, doing their own thing, or are they coming to show something much, much greater? Are they coming to show, I represent something else? I'm merely a shliach, I'm a representative. What happened at Matan Torah was Klal Yisrael were there at Har Sinai, and like the Medrash tells us, what happened then and there was Ein Oyed Movade, Pshuta Kemashmaya. The entire Bria, the entire world, saw and realized that there was nothing else which really had any real here, had any real life. And the world stopped, and the birds stopped chirping, and everyone was silent. That's what they saw. At the same time, Klal Yisrael saw that there were malachim, and they were coming down, tens of thousands of malachim, and each of them had the goal, and they're all shaykh to a particular dagel. And what they realized was that even though, on the one hand, Einoid Movade, nothing else has any real existence, but at the same time, it's possible, with the realization of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, with the realization of the Einoid Movade, a malach or a human being can still have a particular task, a particular job, a particular tafkid, not necessarily as a yachid, devoid and detached of that yediyah, but as a representative, as a shliach, as an emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the tremendous tithe, that was the desire which Klal Yisrael had at the time. They saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this great kliach, and there's malachim who are coming as a shliach to do a particular task for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halavai that we can also, on the one hand, be dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cling to Hashem. Therefore, in one respect, there are certain aspects of hispachlus being null and void. At the same time, to the extent that we are dovuk to Hashem, that will give us the idea exactly what I should be doing. Because I am null and void vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be somehow a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want Hashem to show me and to tell me exactly what my kayach is, where my strength lies, what I should be doing. That was the desire which they had at the time. Now the first place that we actually find an allusion to this idea is by Yaakov Avinu. Chazal tells us that right before Yaakov Avinu was about to be nifter, he called over his children and he instructed them exactly how to carry him. And the Medrash says, "Vehechtim, how was he mitzavah them? Amalem, Yehuda Yisachar Zvulim, Yitam Yisachim Min Amizrach. You three, you should carry the mitzah from the eastern side. Reuven, Shimon, the God, Yitanu Min Adorim. Dan, Moshe, Naphtali, Yitanu Min Atzofim, Binyamin, Ephraim, Menashe, Yitanu Min Amarav." And Chazal explained elsewhere that the reason why Yaakov Avinu chose each particular shevet, each particular son, one in the Mizrach, one in the Marav, as I'll say, because the Mizrach represents Torah, the Mizrach represents light, and the Dorim represents Tshuva. And Yaakov Avinu knew and saw in each of his children exactly their strengths, exactly their weaknesses, and exactly where they should be vis-a-vis him. And therefore he instructed him and said, "You, the best thing for you is to be in the Dorim, whatever the Dorim represents. You in the Sofen, whatever the Sofen represents." And the Medrash finishes off, "If you'll do like I instructed you to, and you carry the mitzvah the way I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu osir l'hashris eschem begolim begolim. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make not just for you as individuals, but in a national sense, for all of your offspring, begolim begolim. After he was nifted, then all the shvatim did as instructed, and they carried in the way that Yaakov Avinu was mitzavah." We asked, one of the questions that we asked is, what was the chiba? Why is it an act of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to Golem? From here already we can start to understand. One of the greatest gifts that a father or a mother can give to their children is to point out exactly what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. Like Yaakov Avinu did prior to his Patirah, he told each of his children exactly, "You're a pachas kemayim, you have to be careful about this. You have this mile, you have this chesaron." What Yaakov Avinu was doing, he was telling each of his children, "This is the way I see you and your future. You are shaykh to the Dorim. You have what to do with tshuva, you have what to do with light, you have what to do with Torah. If you do this, if you understand what your capabilities are, what your potential are, in an individual sense, and you work with that, eventually in a national sense, when there's a whole Klal Yisrael, there'll be a concept of the golem, and every single shevet will know exactly what their particular task, what is their job. The nations came over to us and they said, Shuvi, Shuvi, Ashulavis, come to us and we'll make you great, we'll give you all different types of positions of stature. And we asked, it seems to be a strange type of discussion back and forth, the nations perceived us as individuals, but we have great positions. There's a concept of a kohen, and there's a kohen gadol, and there's a kohen Mashiach Nechama, and there's a levi. There's all different types of positions. And they said, if you come to us, we'll make it that much better for you. If you're a kohen who gets 200 pounds, we'll make you a kohen who gets 300 pounds. Whatever it is, they viewed us in an individual light, each one with a particular job, a particular target. What Klal Yisrael answered back to the nations of the world, we have the golem. You've got it all wrong. It's not just that we're over here and you're offering us something slightly better. We are an emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just that I'm a Kohen. I'm a Kohen Hashem. It's not just that I'm a Sar. I'm a Sar of Hashem. I'm a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I emanate from something which is much, much greater than anything you have to offer. It's a totally different type of yachid. It's a totally different type of way of perceiving the task that I have, the way that you, the nations of the world, perceive it, and the way that it really is. And they said, and not only this, when I'm chayter, when we're chayter, Hashem is moichel us, Hashem forgives us. It seems to be, like we said, that there seems to be some type of correlation between the idea of the golem and the mechilas havonos. And the idea is, and actually another medrash, the medrash is discussing, you have two people who are sitting together and learning, and one person gets it right and one person gets it wrong. One person learning Pshat and Sugya correctly and one person incorrectly. So how does the Kaddish Baruch Hu view each of these two people? Says the Medrash, Shnei Chavim Sha'itzkin Bidvar Halacha. You have two people learning. Ze'ayim Abeis Avshal Halacha Ve'ze'ayim Abeis Avshal Halacha. One person gets it right, one person gets it wrong. Even if the other person gets it wrong, it doesn't make a difference. I'll skip over him with ahava. I'll still look at what he's doing as the greatest act, Talmud Torah, when a person is connecting with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. V'digloi olai ahava. Says the Medrash, Amar Rav Acha, Am Ha'aretz Shekirei Ahava Eva. If you have an unlearned person, instead of saying ahava, he says Eva. Kegoin v'ahavta, instead of saying v'ahavta Hashem l'kecho, he says chalila v'oyavta, which is the lashon of an enemy chas v'shal, v'oyavta Hashem l'kecho. How does the Kaddish Baruch Hu look at such a person? Amra Kaddish Baruch Hu v'dilugay olai ahava. It doesn't make a difference. I'll look at that person with the same ahava, the one who said v'ahavta, and the one who said v'oyavta. And we know when Chazal say al tikri X al Y, it's not just a cute way of, you know, making some type of a joshua. And the Persians tell us that any time we have an al tikri this or that, the idea is if you look at X and you understand X and you delve into it ad hasof, you derish it, you seek it out, eventually you'll see the Y in it. So when we say lashna of dego and dilug have one to do with one another, it's not just a nice play on words. And the idea is, like we're saying, that if a person views themselves, I have a dagel, and the concept of a dagel is I am merely coming to represent something much greater than myself. I realize my position, I realize myself, klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nonetheless, I am going to try as best as I can possibly do to go and represent him and do my task. If a person, so to speak, shtaldichtzu dagelzik, if a person connects himself with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like one is holding a flag, to such a person, a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, "V'dilugay." To you, so you're not looking for your own grandeur, you're not looking to your own fame, and you're not coming to pride yourself of your own capabilities. For you, "V'dilugay l'ayahavo." Did you have a person who claims to be the Velt Lamda, the biggest Talmud Chacham, and he says the best Sfaris in the world? I remember once there was a fellow who was packed as a big ball kishrin, and he came over to me and said, tell me something, I'll slug it up. He wanted me to tell him anything so he could show his harifas. Tell me a verse, I'll slug you up. If you have a person who claims to be a great Talmud Chacham, a big London, and they get it wrong, and they say a Krum Svara, the chat is they've said something incorrectly, they said something which is foolish. If you have a person who is trying to understand the Dvar Hashem, he's trying to understand the Sugya, and he gets it incorrect, doesn't make a difference anymore. If it's such a person, the Kaddish Baruch says, "Gedilugi olaya havo." If you have a person who thinks that they're a wonderful chazan, and when they get up there, they're getting up on stage, and they want everyone to realize how wonderful their chazanus is, so if they botch it up, they mess it up. And you get another person who's trying to be ma'ir the tzibur, and they're trying to daven in a beautiful way, to be ma'ir the kavanah for all the tzibur, even if they get it wrong, it doesn't make a difference. A rebbe of mine told us a story that about 40, 50 years ago, there was a man in New York, Al-Tayyid, he was in Siberia, and he was in Alville, he was davening, and he didn't have a particularly nice voice, and he would mumble a little bit, and he was an older man, and the people were starting to speak and saying, you know, this is not very mechuvad for the tzibur to have such a bad feel, and so on. For one day the Rav got up and said, look, this is a person who was in Siberia for a long time and he kept tired mitzvahs. Like, what mokum is there for, if it sounds nice, if it doesn't sound nice, it doesn't make a difference. This is a person where every single word is cut out from the heart. It doesn't make a difference to how it sounds anymore. If you have, for example, let's say you have a 6-year-old girl and she decides one day that she's going to bake something for her father. The father likes donuts, let's say. And the 6-year-old girl goes and she knows that donuts, a bit of flour and water and some chocolate, and it doesn't necessarily look like donuts which you buy in a bakery. So if you go to a bakery and you say, I want a chocolate donut, and it doesn't taste the way you like it, so you take your business elsewhere. Because the bakery represents quality baked goods. And if it's not quality, I'm going to go somewhere else. But if your 6-year-old daughter comes to you and she bakes and she tries and she makes you something and it doesn't taste particularly good and it doesn't look anything remotely close to a donut, so it's not the pshat that you're going to say, well, it doesn't really look good, it doesn't really taste good, of course I'm going to eat it anyway because it comes from my daughter. It's not the way that a healthy person would perceive it. The way that it's perceived is, this is an act of love. It looks like a donut, it looks like a truck, it doesn't make a difference what it looks like. This is an act of love. And that's the idea of Al Tikri or Digle Al Dilugai. In fact, we say this in Hineni Ani Mas, right before on Yamim Neiroim, we say V'dilugeinu Aleinu Ba'ahavo. And it's referring to this Chazal, that if the Shliach Tzibur, when he's Eimed Badin, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he makes a mistake and he says an incorrect wording, he says a different word, we're mispal to Hashem, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'dilugeinu, you should be medalig aleinu ba'ava, even if we get it incorrect. And that's the idea, we're not coming to pride ourselves of our own merits, of our own strengths, we're merely coming to be a representative of you, to be a representative of something much greater. So just to recap, you know, we ask b'chlal, what's the meaning of the golem? We're saying now it's an inyan of not just a yachid, not just an individual, but someone who represents as a shliach or something else. The reference to Matan Torah is because we saw the malachim and we saw that on the one hand there's Einav Movadi, at the same time there still is place for individual roles, individual tasks, providing that it's done with this idea in mind that I'm a representative. And that was the tremendous desire which Klal Yisrael had. But the temptation of the goyim and the ant was also the same thing. You've got it all wrong. You're not perceiving correctly the way that we have our particular tasks, our particular jobs. And that's also the idea of the Mechilas Avoinis. That's what the Rambam tells us. The Rambam tells us that the Minik HaPashit Shukoyin Bamid Basina Koyin HaTzeres. Before Shavuos, it's important, it's very important that we should try and lay Pashit Bamidbar. When we learn Parshas Bamidbar, we see the idea, the lessons of the Degolim, and we see that when we're coming up to Shavuos in a few days, just like the Bnei Yisrael, they had the golem, they realized Ein Oid Milvadei, and they realized through the attachment to the Torah, through the Hispakos to the Torah, every single person has an individual role, an individual task, a particular thing which they and only they can do. As is Hashem, if we try and understand the message of the Begolim, if we get to Matan Torah and we're inspired with this concept, with this reality of Ein Oid Milvadei, as Hashem, each and every one of us will know our individual tasks, what we can do, what we can't do, what is our particular role in Klal Yisrael, and how each of us can make a Kiddush Im Shamayim.
God, I'll be 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 God, I'll be